The scripture reading this morning is come from Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 10. Romans 12, verse 1 through 10. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have a gift that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? God, we are so much honored that we can be called by your name, Christians. We are here, Lord, to discern your will in our life by listening to your word, Lord. Please, Lord, help us to open our heart. Help us to accept your words as our direction in our lives. And we pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to, you know, start my sermon by showing you some pictures of my home church. It is kind of an update what is really going on right now at my home church. This is outside the building. And next one, yes, they just finished putting the new I-beam frame on top of the building so that they can now build a new roof on the building so they can soon, you know, work inside during the winter season. The next one. And next one. Next one. And next one. Next one. Next one. Yes, that's it. I'm so glad, and I'm really, really appreciate your prayer and your concern for my home church. Please keep praying for my home church. They are planning to finish this building project before the end of summer. So probably in this, you know, coming fall, they can have a worship service in the new sanctuary. Thank you so much again for your support. We are doing the new sermon series, God Makes All Things New. Do you believe in that? God makes all things new. Revelation 21:5 is a theme scripture of this new sermon series. Let's read the scripture together. See, I am making all things new. God wants us to be renewed. And God wants to give us revival of our lives, of His church, and also of all the nations. Because we are familiar with the scripture from Jeremiah 21:11. I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give your future filled with hope. God's plans for us is renewal. God's plans for His creation are total restoration and wholeness as it was created in Genesis 1 and 2. We are now all in that process of restoration and renewal. Then what is the definition of renewal? My definition of renewal is this: our new relationship with God, with a new knowledge of God in His goodness and faithful love through Jesus Christ. Let me repeat this again. Our new relationship with God, with a new knowledge of God in His goodness and faithful love through Jesus Christ. In a simple phrase, it can be defined as returning to Jesus Christ. Do you believe that we can be renewed through the worship service? Have you ever had that kind of experience in your worship service? God touches your heart and you experience a renewal? Let me share mine with you. When I was in seminary, there was a time when I seriously thought about going back to Korea. The money I brought from Korea was almost used up. And I wasn't easy to support my family, not to mention my study. At the time, Abe had just been born. I had the burden of being a full-time student and also full-time father and husband on my shoulders, plus part-time ministry. The church I served promised me to offer a part-time position after doing ministry for a year. But the church's financial situation was not that good. I felt frustrated, and I became at a loss. But God gave me a breakthrough in my life. That happened at the worship service. There was a church in Eagle Rock, which is in the west side of Pasadena, California. It was 1999. The church had an evening, Saturday evening worship service. And one of my friends from the seminary, he invited me to join that service because the service was really famous in that area. And I went there with my wife and also with my newborn baby. I sat in the front row. When the worship started, all of a sudden, I could feel the presence of God strongly in the sanctuary. All of a sudden, I started to shed my tears. And I couldn't control it. And I couldn't sing anymore. And I couldn't say a word at all from my lips. I was literally overwhelmed with the presence of God in that sanctuary. I felt God seems to talk to me about this. Hey, John, I know you. I know your situation. Remember, I'm the one who called you to this ministry. From that moment, my heart was filled with the joy to the fact that I'm not forgotten by God. A few weeks later, I was offered to work on campus so that I could continually serve the church. Yes, I experienced renewal at the church, at the service. I do believe many of us remember the time when now former president, Barack Obama, sang a song of Amazing Grace. During the eulogy of Reverend Clementa Pinckney, who was killed in a shooting at a Charleston church, it has been widely acknowledged as one of the most powerful moments in his presidency. He was at the place of worship. Many of his advisors didn't want him to sing during the service. Even Michelle advised him not to sing during the service. But he did it. Before the president began to sing, he paused for a moment, and one of his advisors asked him later, "Were you thinking about whether or not you was going to sing?" And he answered, "Oh no, I know I'm going to sing. I was just trying to figure out what key to sing in." Let us watch the video clip of his singing together.
Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. mind.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Clementa Pinckney found that grace. Cynthia Hurd found that grace. Susie Jackson found that grace. Ethel Lance found that grace. The Payne Middleton doctor found that grace. Tywanza Sanders found that grace. Daniel L. Simmons Sr. found that grace. Sharonda Coleman Singleton found that grace. Myra Thompson found that grace. Through the example of their lives, they've now passed it on to us. May we find ourselves worthy of that precious and extraordinary gift. As long as our lives endure, may grace now lead them home. May God continue to shed His grace on the United States of America.
He seems to want to become a pastor after retirement. In his eulogy, Obama said, "As a nation out of this terrible tragedy, God has visited grace upon us, for He has allowed us to see where we've been blind. He's given us the chance, where we've been lost, to find our best selves." I believe that during that memorial service, many who watch that service experience a renewal of the faith that we are still under the care of God, even though we go through really difficult times. And also, we still have assignment to do to break the barriers we have in our society. That was the time of renewal in the worship. What happens when we worship? Let me quote the answers from our new member class material, Discovery. When we worship, we encounter God. We see our need. We experience God's love and forgiveness. We witness to others. We grow in love for others. We are called to commitment. Let me paraphrase those six things happening in our worship. We come to know who God is. We can understand who we are. We can see the needs of the people. And we can experience the growth in knowledge of and love for God and others. In a nutshell, we experience renewal in our worship. Many scholars agree that the center of the Old Testament worship is a sacrifice. It means our renewal in worship is closely related to our sacrifice. But that sacrifice is not originally comes from us. It is first from God. Romans 8:32 says, "Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else, including renewal?" Our worship should be our sacrifice to God because He sacrificed Himself for us. That is why Apostle Paul says in Romans 12:1, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Our total and perfect restoration and renewal will happen when Jesus Christ comes to us. Let me read Matthew 19, 28 through 29 for you. Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my name's sake will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. Do you see here? The sacrifice is closely related to our worship. In Isaiah and Revelation, the final renewal of the creation is pictured in the setting of worship. In Isaiah 2, all the nations will stream toward the temple where they will worship God. And in Revelation 4 and 5, we can see the picture of worship in heaven that is happening right now. And also, we will join that worship. Angels, the elders, and all the creatures, they will surround the throne of God, and they will give worship to God, proclaiming, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Yes, renewal is closely connected to worship. Our renewal in our worship is the harbinger or foretaste for the ultimate renewal of all creation when Jesus Christ comes back to us. As we taste the renewal in the worship, we taste the final renewal of Jesus Christ in his kingdom. That is why we can experience the power of renewal in this worship. Romans 12, 1 through 15, 13 are the applications of what Paul, what Apostle Paul teaches in the previous chapters. Toward the end of Romans 11, Paul emphasized the grace of God and also the faith we have in Jesus Christ in our salvation. He affirms that it is through faith and grace that we are justified, not through the keeping of the law. As proof, Abraham is presented as an example. If we read carefully the life of Abraham in Genesis, we see his turning point when he built up altars for God. When Abraham met God at Shechem, he built an altar to the Lord. When he moved to the hill country on the east side of Bethel, he built an altar to God. When he moved to Hebron, he built an altar too. Finally, in Genesis 22, on a mountain of Moriah, he built an altar to the Lord to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham was justified by grace and faith, and his life was marked with a continual worship to God. Life of faith and grace is life of worship all the time. I believe the Romans chapter 12, 13, 14, and 15 are Paul's exposition to true worship. They are also his guidelines for the lives of true worshipers. He ends his worship guidelines in chapter 15 with different worship quotations from the Old Testament. The key verses of those chapters are Romans 12, 1 through 2. Do you want to experience renewal in this worship? Then it depends how we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Then how can we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, what does it mean? We no longer offer literal sacrifices, for Christ has fulfilled and thus brought to an end of the Old Testament sacrificial system. It means God needs us. God needs our whole being, our whole person. In other words, God needs our daily life. God needs our interaction with the world. Wherever our bodies go, wherever I go, whatever I do, the things we are doing there is our sacrifice to God. It is our worship. Let me read Romans 12:1 in the translation of the Message. Let us this in a scripture together. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take you every day, while holding on your life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and working around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. A few weeks ago, I had a chance to go to the city hall to pay my bill. And there was a lady who was sitting in the desk, in the chair, and she said, "I know you." I was kind of surprised. "I saw you on TV on Thursday night." She was watching our worship service on TV. And I thought about that. Yes, I know. I need to behave well in this community. But think about it. How many of our church members are here? A lot. Every Sunday. 400, 500? What if we become a real worshiper in our daily lives? What will happen at this town? We are here to bring God's change in this town through our worship. There are a lot of people out there who need a renewal in their lives. That is the reason why we are called to give ourselves as a living sacrifice to our God. Colossians 2:20 is one of the important Bible verses about worship. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in my body, I live by faith indeed, by the faithfulness of God's Son, who loved me and gave himself for me." We have this treasure, and we have this power, so that we can give ourselves to God as a living sacrifice wherever we go and whatever we do in our lives. The Greek word spiritual is logikos. Its original meanings are rational, reasonable, or logical. When the Bible says, "Which is your spiritual worship?" literally it means, it is your true worship that you should offer to God. Our true worship is not just limited to the church's building here. When we have meals together with our children, when we go to a community center to work out, when we go to see our doctor for a regular checkup, when we go to a gas station to fill our tank, when we have a conversation with our neighbors on the street, we are there to worship God and to reveal Jesus Christ. How wonderful He is, how good He is through our lives. That is a true worship that we should offer. The Greek word for worship is really interesting. This word can also be translated as service, labor, and work. In the biblical sense, worship is not a static word. It is an action word. It requires our whole being actively and dynamically working and laboring for God and God's kingdom. Let me summarize the rest of Romans 12, the guidelines on true worship. If we are in true worship, holy and acceptable to God, we do not think of ourselves better than we really are. We are honest in the evaluation of ourselves. We remember that we are a part of Christ's body and that we belong to each other. We acknowledge that God has given each of us special gifts to build up His church. We love each other, hate what is wrong, and hold on tightly to what is good. Wherever true worshipers go, people find passion, rejoice, honor, patience, prayer, and peace among them because of their presence. They never pass by the needs of the people, not only inside but also outside of their church, including their enemies as well. True worshipers overcome evil in their worship and service. When we think about the word renewal, we automatically turn into the passive mode because renewal is not coming from us. It is coming from God. That is true. But let us remember that the time when John Wesley needed his renewal in his life, it is stated in his diary on March 4, 1738. He was tempted not to preach anymore because he felt it is wrong. Because I don't have the faith, but I have to preach. He had that kind of guilty feeling built up in his heart. So he asked his mentor, Peter Weller, about his thoughts. And he answered, by no means. John Wesley asked, but what can I preach? And he said, preach faith until you have it. And then, because you have it, you will preach faith. John Wesley never gave up upon his worship. Even though he was struggling in his faith, he did it until he experienced renewal. We cannot delay our worship until we feel we are renewed. The more we feel we need renewal, the more we need to be in worship and in service. I received Romans chapter 12 as my call to ministry verses when I was in college. Especially Romans 12:15, that states, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. I prayed to God and asked Him if He really wanted me to become a pastor. His answer was amazing. You become a pastor like this. He was talking about Romans chapter 12. Last year, when our church members shared their hearts with me in their prayers and special love offerings to my home church, it has deepened my understanding of God's goodness and faithful love about His church and also about me. It also has become one of my renewal moments in ministry. I appreciate your love and care. And I appreciate your worship to weep with my home church members. Did you recognize that today's offering song? Yes, you know, Jens mentioned about that. And Miranda and Jens did a wonderful job singing that beautiful song. The title of the song is At the Place Where You Call. Let me read the lyrics to you. God of love and kindness, your presence in me. You cover me with peace. In your loving embrace, I want none but you. Light of truth and love shining in me, you cover me with peace. In your loving embrace, your love is all that I see. At the place where you call, I worship you, Lord. Wherever I am, I give you my praise. At the place where you call, I worship you, Lord. Wherever I am, O Lord, I worship you. Everywhere I go, I praise you. Everything I do, I lift up my life to you. I worship you, Lord. Brothers and sisters, we are called to be true worshipers. Wherever we go and whatever we do, let us become a living sacrifice to our God. Let us make God's passion, rejoice, honor, patience, prayer, and peace be evident to all and in all what we do. That is our destiny and call to the spiritual worship and true worship. Then we will be renewed all the time until the Lord comes to us to completely renew His creation. Let us pray together. Dear God, we thank you for your call to be your true worshipers. We know that you want us to be renewed through worship. Let us present our bodies as a living sacrifice. In our daily lives, wherever we go and whatever we do, let us reveal Jesus Christ to the world. By doing so, let us be your true worshipers and experience your goodness and faithful love continually. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.